your home for the Huskies.
Touchdown, Washington!
The Kraken.
In the slot, he scores!
And the Sounders. Sports Radio 950, KJR AM and KJR FM HD2, Seattle. An iHeart radio station. Available everywhere on your free iHeart radio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
It's Puckin', it's the go-to guy, Jimmy Moore, with you. It's an 80s throwback Thursday. It's all Public Enemy today. Just bring the noise, by the way. What song do you want later?
Eminence Front,
yeah.
Never heard of it, have you?
No, you're going to play the song, and I'm going to hear it. I'm just going to tell you the title. I will never know the title of
this
song.
This has a good beat here, though.
There you go. Public Enemy, it's 80s throwback Thursday, the greatest decade ever. We'll talk to Dallas Hobbs here in just a quick sec. See if he's still celebrating. Headlines we got to read to you. Brought to you by VenueKings.com. Bad news out of baseball. Just stinks if you're a baseball fan like we are. Another work stoppage. First one in 26 years. 11 weeks until spring training starts February 16th. We'll see what happens. But owners have locked out the players. We got to get into that at some point.
You see what they're doing on their websites?
Take it well, but they said they had to do it to protect the players. That they took everything down, name, image, and likeness, including all the headlines on MLB.com. If you go there, there's nothing about current players.
Nothing about Robbie Ray signing with the Mariners.
Stupid, petty, but it's. You know what? I've never come across a sport that just hates people as much as baseball hates their fans, because they absolutely hate their fans. Everyone, and I, you know, Chuck hate. And he's right that Manfred hates baseball, which is right. But that sport, the union and the owners, hate their fans. They just do. They absolutely hate them.
They should like embrace crap. The ones that they have left, because it's not quite like as popular as it used to be.
They have like two people that watch their sport anymore. And it's you and me.
Yeah.
Just don't get it. Adrian Peterson has signed a contract with the Seahawks, so clearly they're going to go 6-0 and get in the playoffs. Thursday night football tonight, Saints and Cowboys, 5 o'clock on KJR. Because we were going to have Husky basketball tonight, but their game against Arizona has been postponed because of COVID issues. Jake Dickert, Dickert Ball, will be introduced today at 4 o'clock right here on 950 KJR. Dickert Ball!
That sounds a lot like Mike Benton.
I'm going to get a t-shirt that says Big Dickert Ball.
You'd sell a lot of those.
You're damn right. All right, joining us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, it's our final visit with Dallas Hobbs. He's been with us all season long, defensive tackle for the Cougs, number 98 in your program, number one in your heart. You can follow him on Twitter at dhobbs92. The man is doing everything. He's a part-time where he's a co-owner of a brewery. He hosts like 13 different podcasts. He's a creative design artist. He's got his own business. He's got multiple businesses. He goes to school. He's at every single women's soccer game, and he's also a student as well. And he joins us every single week, brought to you by the Flatstick Pub. Big thanks to the Flatstick Pub. Great place to watch the Cougs each week. Locations in Kirkland, Pioneer Square, South Lake Union, Spokane, and Bellingham. In fact, I had several buddies who were at the game. They had taken a boat over. That's a way to go. And then when they got dropped off, they sent me a bunch of pictures that they ended their night at the Flatstick Pub in South Lake Union.
Nice.
Just getting after it. Hey, Dallas, you'll like this. So for the last several months, we've been raising money for the Ronald McDonald House. The Ronald McDonald House is an outfit here in Seattle, and that serves Western Washington, Alaska, when kids that are sick and need like long-term care to be seen at Seattle Children's Hospital, so the families don't have to spend a bunch of money on hotels. If they're coming from out of state or Eastern Washington, they stay at the Ronald McDonald House, and that house doesn't charge them any money. It roughly costs $30 a day to put them up, and they get their own apartment, kitchen, all that.
I think we got one in Minnesota. I want to say something sounds familiar about my sister,
maybe a St. Jude, which is kind of a similar thing, I believe. Or that's
I think we have a Ronald McDonald House too in Minnesota or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we've been raising
a little bit about it.
Yeah, we've been raising money for the last several months. We sell our studio naming rights every week. It's kind of a goof. Okay. We do it to raise money. We've raised like $31,000. So I had a bet. We had a bet with a guy on the afternoon who hosts our show. We are the Husky flagship station. I don't know if you know that, but we carry all the Husky games here. And so our afternoon show host and I put a bet together. We said, all right, whoever wins the Apple Cup has got to donate. The loser's got to donate $500 to the Ronald McDonald House. Then whoever wins, won it, we get to name the studio anything we want to name it, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So you are on the station right now. The name of the studio, we named the studio, Jim and I, of course, both Cougar fans and graduates. We renamed the studio this week to the 40-13 flag planting ass kicking studio here on 950 KJR. How does that sound, huh?
Hey, that's a great studio to be in right now,
isn't it? You want to hear the moment that when it was really over for the Huskies? I'm going to play this for you. Maybe you haven't heard this yet.
This pass is tipped and intercepted and taken back by Armani Marsh all the way.
There you go. That is Armani Marsh.
There we go.
Touchdown. How was it? Tell us. I mean, how exciting was that last week?
It was very exciting, especially just the energy you saw on the sideline after every big play. And just everyone, just the energy was great. The atmosphere was great. After the game was great. So many different fans coming up. I had if you saw the apple clip, just munching on that apple. It was a great thing.
What kind of apple was that? We just had a whole apple discussion in the last segment, ranking our favorite apples. Do you know what that kind of apple that was?
I got no clue what that apple was, but it was nice and juicy. Maybe, I can't remember what that apple was.
Not a Red Delicious, because that's the worst apple ever made.
I don't think it was a Red Delicious, but maybe it was. Take a look at the video, and you might be able to see the characteristics in it and make a call.
So, Dallas, what'd you think when your quarterback planted that crimson flag there on the purple W?
I cried.
I honestly didn't see it. I don't know. I think I was recording my Apple video or something because I didn't even see it until it was on Twitter.
I thought it was awesome. I loved every minute of it. God, Jim's kid, Mikey, who's 17, we're going to send you the video because he's got the best video of it. He is probably, what would you say, he's 2 or 3 feet away from him?
Yeah, he was just really surprised when all of a sudden Delora showed up and he had the flag. And, it's chaotic, the scene, but you can clearly see Delora planting that flag.
Dallas, I sometimes think fans, the losing and all, even though it sounds weird, they take more of a, it's not an ownership of it. It stresses the fans out, probably, and alums who didn't play more maybe than the players. Hopefully this makes sense. 7 years of not winning, and it just, if you live in Seattle, you got to deal with it all the time because, there's a lot of Husky fans over here and, of course, a lot of Coug fans over here as well. I felt what he did in the storming of the field was just like this let out of years of losing and finally a big weight off the shoulder of a bunch of alums. For you, the players, who I think always get over these losses quicker than fans, because you got to get ready for the next game. Yep. You've been a part of these, though, for the last few years. What was it like for you and others, upperclassmen, to finally beat them and get that trophy?
Oh, it was great, because they're obviously in the recent past, not too many people can say they beat the Huskies. So just having that under our belt was super exciting, especially, what all these upperclassmen, all these leaders, the older guys went through in these past years. It's nice to some of them to end their college careers on that. So that was amazing and a great opportunity. It was just a great feeling all around.
Okay, Dallas, so since you're a player, I just assume things, and I shouldn't do that, but like next year, let's say that the game's going to be at Martin Stadium, and heaven forbid, but let's say the Huskies happened to win that game, and they took a purple flag and decided to plant it, their quarterback, whoever it is, Jake Haener, maybe Sam Heward, and they planted it on our logo there at Martin Stadium. Would you be, as a player, okay with that and go, well, I guess we had that coming because we did that last year, or would you defend our turf?
Oh, I know everyone would be upset with it. Obviously, it's probably something they're going to try and do, but we're going to stop them from planting that flag, hopefully, and keep this thing rolling.
There you go. See, that's the answer right there.
But couches would have, if this was in Pullman, couches would have been burning.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in school for when it first happened, when a couch was burned. It was actually ripped off of my front porch of where I was living. Thrown into the street and lit on fire, and I walked. Yeah. Somebody came over to the bar and said, "Hey, have you been back to the house yet?" "No. What's going on?" "Well, the party you guys had all day long, you know, because it was the beginning of finals when we had that party. The couch on your front porch is now in the middle of the street on fire." I said, "Okay. Well, that's fun." And I was there when the National Guard came down from Spokane and was marching in the street. Yeah, that was a fun time over there. Take Jim and I inside. I love this stuff because I love the rah-rah, get you juiced up speech before a game, after a game. You know, I love watching. I know it's a movie. I love watching the movie Miracle when Kurt Russell gives the speech to Team USA before they, you know, they take on the Russians and, you know, their time is over, all that kind of stuff. I love it, all of it. What was it like pregame? What was the message from Dickert to you guys or other coaches who spoke, or maybe other players that spoke up before you guys took that field?
It was just, you know, a big, you know, pulling everything we've done great this season and, you know, putting it all out there, pouring our energy out on that field, not letting the emotions take over, make sure we still, you know, stay there mentally and focused, but just bring all the energy we got and, you know, really attack it. And I can say I think we did that. You know, we really brought it to them, and all across the board, special teams, defense, offense, all across the board, you know, we really poured it all out.
Yeah, boy, it was fun. The other thing, Dallas, what I do every week, and I love what they do over there at Washington State with the uniform reveal. And the last one was fantastic with Jihad Woods being at Cougar Country and then showing up in the icy whites. And I love those icy white uniforms and how you guys played on them in the Apple Cup. But do you guys, do you get a sense for which uniform combination the players like the most?
I know, like, the all reds and all whites. I think everyone's all about the all reds or all whites, not really mixing them up too much. They like the all solid colors.
The afterwards, obviously, very emotional in the locker room for you guys, and, you know, in all the upperclassmen, Jihad Woods and Justice Rogers, and I thought of, you know, Max Borgie and all of that. And the celebration that you guys had, and it was cool watching Dickert, you know, raise the trophy. And. And then we all just assumed right after that, well, they're going to name him the head coach. But there was probably some doubt. You spent more time, you and the defensive player spent more time with him because he was your guys' coach more than the offensive guys. Why is he the right fit, Dallas, to lead this program moving forward? He'll officially be introduced today at a press conference at 4 o'clock over there.
Yeah, no, I think he's just really pushes the right message all across the board. You know, it really transitioned to the whole team when he took the lead as active head coach or whatever they call that, acting coach, whatever. But, you know, it was just on defense. You know, all the defense players saw it all the time. Then you saw it really transition to the whole team and really bringing guys in and giving us these great messages, these great things to be better on and off the field. And just the way he talks and speaks is really inspiring. And the things he can do, you know, it's he's great.
Which bowl game do you want to go to?
Oh, you stole mine. That's what I was going to ask.
probably Vegas. I feel like
there you go. It's only one right answer.
That's the easy flight. But I'd like Alamo Bowl again. That one was, I loved Alamo Bowl, and a lot of our team loved it down there. But you know, Vegas is, we bring a lot of Coug fans there.
Well, yeah, Jim and I are both degenerate gamblers, so we are. So get a message to Chun for us if you see him today. Vegas, we got to get to Vegas. All right, we need about 10,000 Cougar fans to show up to Vegas.
The debt sharks will be circling all around everyone's hotel.
Have you ever seen Leaving Las Vegas? That movie with Nicolas Cage.
I think so.
Yeah, that scene where he's just drinking the vodka in the shower. That'd probably be me. Probably at the end of that trip, just wrapping it all up. And you'll be back one more year, correct?
Yep, correct.
Now, that's going to be awesome. Well, congratulations. You know, I mean, Jim and I will speak for all the alums over here and fans who love that school. And Chris, who's our producer, went over there. It just was a long time. It just, there was a lot of emotion, I think, came out of a lot of people when that thing was finally over and, you know, when it finally hit triple zeros to finally end that streak and to see you guys celebrate. And for you, Dallas, and for all the upperclassmen, especially, you guys have the last few years have had to go through a lot. I mean, a lot. Mm-hmm. That nothing a kids in their 20s or, you know, teens should have to go through. So you guys persevered through a lot of stuff. You kept your focus on the field, and you have finished the season so strong. Go out, win the bowl game. Hopefully it's Vegas, and have a great off season. And we wish you the best for a senior season. And thanks so much for doing this all year long, Dallas.
Of course, I appreciate you guys. It's been a fun time, and looking forward to next season.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. We'll check back in with you if we can. Thanks again, Dallas.
Oh yeah, sounds good. Thank you guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Dallas. Go Cougs, baby. Yeah.
Go Cougs.
There he is, Dallas Hobbs, who joins us every week throughout the football season. Brought to you by the Flat Stick Pub. Again, great place to watch the Cougs each week. And if you got kids, or even if you're adults, after 8 o'clock, it's no more kids. It's just a fun place. They got great locations: Kirkland, Pioneer Square, South Lake Union, Spokane, Bellingham. Great selection of local beer, cider, and wine. FlatStickPub.com. So
good. It's fun having him all year. I like going inside the locker room and finding out what's going on. And like you were saying, I mean, he knows Jake Dickert as well as anyone, being a defensive player there.
I thought Ian said it well. We touched on it yesterday, and we said how cool it is to have these two head coaches, I think, take over these programs. Because of where they've come from. I mean, they're two small-town guys. Small-town South Dakota, small-town Wisconsin. And then Ian kind of took it a step further. I was listening yesterday and really kind of nailed it, I thought. It's just, I think they're, on the surface, they're both good hires for both programs. And I think they're going to both do really good job.
No, I do too. I look forward to that. I think they're going to like each other, respect each other, and the programs.
And I think it's different. I think it's odd to watch it We've always been the offensive school, and they've always been the defensive school. And now it feels like they might turn a little bit. Kalen DeBoer is an offensive-minded coach. I mean, that's what he's offense first, innovate, all of that. And Dickert, I mean, he's a defensive coordinator. And what will his, I'm curious at 4 o'clock today when he has a press conference, how much will things look different offensively? Will he keep the same system, same staff? He kind of alluded to us when we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. I like to run the ball and I like to be physical. So will he change some things around? It's just, it's been a while since you've had a defensive-minded coach coaching the Cougs and then an offensive-minded coach coaching the Huskies, which I think will be fun to watch the rivalry. And as to echo what Ian said yesterday, to see guys that have kind of paid their dues through the small ranks of college football work their way up. I think it's really cool.
Well, yeah, especially, I mean, and I'm not sure where, well, DeBoer is from what, Millbank, a little town in South Dakota, 3,000 people. And,
tiny.
And then you go back to Jake Dickert and his roots, and these guys paying their dues coming up too. And I like what DeBoer said too, that he wasn't trying to get to the highest level possible. He just wanted to be great wherever he was.
Sure.
Chris Egan mentioning that he read Frosty Westring's book about, be great where you are. And so, yeah, I was really impressed with DeBoer.
Wow, that's good. I think it's going to be a good hire. Ryan Leaf, in case you missed Leaf yesterday when we had him on, rave reviews for him. Rave reviews for DeBoer. Just likes what he brings. It appears that Jay Kaner is on his way here. I think there's a report from Christian Capel saying he will come here, but there's going to still be something with his transfer. I think it's got to be approved by the NCAA.
Maybe, because second transfer.
They think that it will be. Anthony Edwards, right? Are we having him on, right? Anthony Edwards, the man who broke the story that Hayner was going to come here. And this is near and dear to our hearts, you and me. It really is.
The kid who broke the story.
The kid who broke the story. He's a reporter for the UW Daily Sports. And Jim and I both, I never got fired from the Daily Evergreen. You did. But near and dear to our hearts of college newspaper, college reporter. I remember working Daily Evergreen. I had to go down to city council and cover the city council meetings.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much were you making? Do you remember?
I don't know, like a dollar an hour.
I think I was getting $10 a week.
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
I don't know if they paid us now. Did they pay us? I don't know if they did. So Anthony's got the story. He broke it. We thought, you know what? Let's put him on. Anthony Edwards will join us coming up at 12:30. You can follow him on Twitter at EdwardsAnthonyB. The guy who, who broke the story, also broke the story that Heard was going to start.
He did.
This guy's dialed in.
He's all over it.
Jesus. Maybe he's got news on Hopkins. I don't know. Maybe he knows why they canceled the game tonight against Arizona. You never know.
How come he's actually beating the actual beat writers?
I don't know.
Huh?
Maybe the Times should think about hiring this guy.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
All right. Fact or fiction. Do I pick today?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Fact or fiction, brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, coming up next. brings you in today on a Thursday because it's an 80s throwback Thursday where we celebrate the greatest decade of all time. There is one song I want you to play, but I think technically it came out in 90, but we'll say they wrote it in 89. We'll get away with it. It's a Puck and it's a go-to guy, Jimmy Moore. We are broadcasting from the 40 to 13 flag planting ass kicking studio here on 950 KJR. There is one texter that is very upset that we keep calling it that.
Why?
I think it's losing its effect. Well, maybe for you, Bob.
It's not for us. It's not inaccurate, is it?
It is not inaccurate. You know what I love more than a show-on-show crime? Did you guys at your old place, not to air out any dirty laundry, and I don't want to talk about your old, where you used to work.
But.
Did you ever have show-on-show crime? Was that a thing over there where shows went after each other, like on the air?
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay. Well, we do it a lot here. It's just, but it's fun. And
is it actual, genuine dislike, or it's just for entertainment purposes?
For entertainment.
Okay.
Well, maybe in a couple of cases it's real. No, for entertainment. But the thing I love more, and kid knows this, more than show-on-show crime, what I love more is actually like two hosts on the same show on crime where they're yelling at each other. And that's what we got today, is a nice little Donnybrook that is taking place right now between Dave Saul Mahler and Richard Elfane on Twitter. These guys have got a show in 4 hours, and they're yelling at each other on Twitter.
About?
About the defense.
The Seahawks defense.
So Softy had tweeted yesterday, he had retweeted something, some stats about the defense. This person was tweeting out about how the defense is playing well since week 4, and the numbers back it up. And Softy had just said, well, I feel like I would care a lot more about these stats if the Seahawks weren't 3-8. But they're 3-8. And then Fain had to chime in, because Fain is president. I don't know if you know this. Dick Fain is the president of the Ken Norton is the Defensive Coordinator of the Year fan club.
Does he really, truly, in his heart of hearts?
Yeah, he is.
He thinks he is
the president of the I'm going to defend the Seahawks defense until I die president.
Has he gone back and looked at what Ken Norton's best defenses have been? Ranked, what, 18th or 17th in Oakland and Seattle?
He has been ball-washing Ken Norton and this defense all season long. No one has been ball-washing this defense more than him. He loves it. He loves the defense. He thinks the defense is top elite. All right, so Fain says, nope, you didn't care about it 4 weeks ago when it was brought up on the show. And then Softy replied back to him, correct. I didn't care about it when they were 2-5 either. And then Fain fires back, but that wasn't your reasoning. You didn't believe the team was out of it in October. You believed the defense wasn't good. They continue to prove otherwise. And then Fain, or Softy, I didn't believe they were good. I believe they're decent now. I just don't care because the team is 3-8. And then it had stopped. And now we'll pick up at 3 o'clock. So they are just yelling at each other about a defense and whether or not a defense is good on a 3-8 terrible football team.
I think we're on Softy's side on this one.
Oh, yeah.
They give up 400 yards a game, which is number 32 in the league.
So you call he is the president of the Defense is Great fan club. He has defended it from day one, but I don't get it.
Yeah, whether it's Ken Norton, whether it's personnel, whether it's both.
They're 3-8.
The only thing you can say about it is that, they're seventh in the league in points allowed.
Yeah.
And their red zone defense is probably decent. Great. But quit letting the other team get to the red zone so often. I hate Ben Don't Break. You always hear, yeah, Ben Don't Break. You know, boy, that
they are not good.
How about Don't Bend?
They're not good. You just gotta. I mean, I don't know why people don't. They're not good. They're not a good football team. They're not good on offense. Obviously, they're not good on defense. They're just not good.
If the Seahawks defense played against the Seahawks offense every week, they'd be good.
You know what? Actually, you bring up a good point. They actually might be good. All right, Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino.
It's time for Fact.
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
It is a flag!
Hey, I know what it is to be a president of a fan club. I carried the flag for CJ ProSize. And I still, every now and again, will go back and watch that game against New England.
Oh.
And shed a little tear. I know what Dick's going through.
And the next week, didn't he have a Like a 74-yard run against the Eagles?
Yeah. Going college football. Game hasn't been picked. I don't know why. Because I have watched a hell of a lot of Georgia football this year because I've told the story many times. My neighbor is from Georgia. She is a graduate from there. She knows Kirby Smart.
Well, come on inside and get yourself something cool to drink.
And that's how they all sound. And when the Masters comes around, Jim, you know what she's going to do for us? She's going to make us a pile of those wonderful, delicious sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. The pimento cheese?
Oh, yeah. And she makes it with that good.
It was delicious.
Right? She makes it with that good white bread that will survive the holocaust, that will survive just an atom bomb. It really will. We're taking Georgia minus 6.5 against Alabama. Georgia minus 6.5 against Alabama. Georgia gives up 6 points a game. This defense is unbelievable.
Are you concerned about Alabama having more incentive in the game because they really need to win more than Georgia does?
No.
Georgia loses, they're in anyway.
No. This offense could only muster 3 points against Auburn. This ain't Auburn's defense. This is maybe one of the greatest defenses we've ever seen in college football. They're going to dismantle this team. So we're going to take Georgia minus 6.5, SEC championship against Alabama. Fact to 49451, fiction to 49451. Kirby Smart's got a lot to prove. He wants to fight, you know, former assistant. He wants to just exercise demons that Alabama's been. So Georgia minus 6.5. SEC championship against Alabama. 49451 fact, 49451 fiction.
I like it so much that I was betting on it while you were talking.
Damn right you were. Damn right. All right. Tweet of the day coming up next. An old favorite coach returns for our tweet of the day. Tweet of the day, every day at 11:45. Jim and I bring you the tweet of the day. You can send it our way, JasonPuckett20, at CougsGo.
CK206.
Well, we had to revisit a former coach. I saw this, and I'll be honest, until I did the research, I had no idea what the context of this was. So let me set it up first before we hear from Mike Leach. In Mississippi, which is actually kind of cool, it's not really like this, but... You know the Morris Trophy Award that we do? We do it every year at the WAC.
Yeah, is it best lineman in the Pac-12 conference?
Best lineman in the Pac-12. Voted on by the players. I think it's... I'll be honest with you, I think it's the coolest award in college football. That's just me. Because it's actually voted on by the peers. So they're voting who the players get to actually vote for it rather than media members. I'd love for the Heisman to be like that, but... That's never going to be it yet. Anyways, he was speaking at the C Spire Connerly Trophy Awards banquet. You're like, what the hell's that? It's an award given annually to the best college football player in the state of Mississippi.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So all the teams and players and coaches and Lane Kiffin's there for Ole Miss, and he's there for Mississippi State.
Can it be other small schools in Mississippi, too?
Yeah, all of it.
Okay.
And this year's award winner was Matt Corral, the quarterback for Ole Miss, who a California kid who won the best player in the state of Mississippi. And Leach got up there and spoke. So they have everyone speak. So he gets up there, and I watched his speech. It was great. He did the same thing. Tried to stop Matt Corral. We couldn't stop him. We tried to hurt him, and we couldn't hurt him. What? We tried to hurt him. Anyways, the video you're going to hear, the audio you're going to hear, is literally right when he's coming off the stage. And apparently, as he was walking off the stage... After he gave the speech, he almost tripped and fell. In fact, he tripped... and missed like a step and almost face planted in front of everyone. But because he's such an athlete, he was able to catch himself and not face plant as he was walking off the stage. And then he sat down with a Mississippi television station, didn't talk about the awards banquet, and talked about him saving himself and not face planting in front of everyone.
Turnover. Here's Donato.
That's not it. That was Everett Fitzhugh.
Well, I thought it was a step, and it's a good thing I have quick reactions, and due to lightning quick reactions, and to be perfectly honest, observing my players over and over, I was able to avoid catastrophe as I stepped on that stage, and I reacted as I'd seen my players react. I mean, in that split second, I thought to myself, what would my players have done in that situation? Boom, boom, boom. And then immediately it mobilized, and I was fine. Okay? And so I'll tell you what, that just shows. If you spend time with great people who are doing great things, some of it will rub off on you. Because that was better than I deserved. Because a lot of people would have eaten it in that situation, but not me. I was blessed by the people that I get to deal with every day.
What a guy.
Who is he crediting there? His players?
His players for their athletic prowess and their gift for rubbing off on him for not falling down off the stage.
So any other person who wasn't a football coach might have fallen were it not for seeing what his players can do athletically. Okay.
I miss those press conferences. I ain't going to lie. I just ain't going to lie. I just miss it. I miss everything about him at like media day and the press conferences and all that. I also appreciate like having a coach that will talk some football. But I mean, you remember when he did the one press conference when he demonstrated how to do the shovel pass with the water bottle? God, that's an all-timer. That's an all-timer. Or when he would talk about the candy, you know, Halloween candy, or when he'd walk from his home. The guy would hike like 6 miles from his home to his office and back.
And we'd have reporters with him and see where he went.
Yeah, Ben Brock did it one time.
Yeah.
He looked comfortable doing that.
Would you do it with him?
I don't think Brock Huard's, you know, $400 pair of leather shoes had ever stepped foot on a wheat field in his life. God. Oh, come on.
I don't miss any of it.
None of it?
I don't miss none a of it at single all. Second of oh, Mike Leach. I grew so lying. Burned out on Mike Leach.
I think you're lying.
Remember, some people are like, he hurt your feelings or whatever. I like having a coach with class. Okay. I'm sorry. I just, after a while, Mike Leach.
Do you think he would have liked Delore planting the flag?
I think he'd have been okay with that. I felt like we sold part of our souls to have a winning football team, and I don't think we have to do that anymore. I got tired of the, you know, let's talk about the mascots and which mascot would beat which. I just got sick of all of it. And you know, whatever.
I can't believe
Loosen up, Jim.
I can't believe that from
you. Oh, God, I got so sick of
it. It was a calmness dream.
I couldn't stand Mike Leach at the end. I just was so... I was out on a trail with my dogs when they announced he was going to Mississippi State. I thrust my hands in the air and I was like, thank you, God. Somebody take him off our hands. Are you with me on that, Chris?
Hey, remember when we went to the...
I know I'm in the minority, probably.
Remember when we went to... Was it the New Mexico Bowl when he put on the sombrero and was dancing in the hall?
Well, the New Mexico Bowl is when I started to lose things with Leach. He blew off Bob Robertson. Come on. Hey, and he blew that game with the clock management.
He did bounce back with the Alamo Bowl win.
Yeah, all right. I know. I'm in the minority. I admit it. I just didn't like the guy. I didn't. I admit it. I kept it. We used to be the flagship station. I just kind of kept it within, you know. I just like, but now.
Oh, why would you care?
What the hell? I mean, I won money off of him the other day. I knew he wouldn't win the rivalry game in the Egg Bowl, so I took Mississippi. And
Do you know? President. Speaking of ball washers, did you see the Bruce Feldman ball washing article on him the other day?
No, what was this?
Guess who was a candidate at the University of Oklahoma? No other college reporter has mentioned his name, but one. The ball-washing Bruce Feldman. Mike Leach would be a real interesting hire at Oklahoma. And, you know, Barry Switzer's in love with him. He's the only reporter in college football who has mentioned him going to Oklahoma.
Because he wrote a book. Swing Your Sword.
Yeah.
How about Mike Leach at Notre Dame? I'd be on board with that.
Dear Lord.
Touchdown, Jesus.
I would become religious if that happened. I would accept God into my heart. If they hired him, can you imagine him and South Bend?
Okay, I'd be fired up for that.
Oh, my God. Newt Rockne. He'd be okay. Jesus. Literally Jesus. All right, Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. Lots going on with the Seahawks. We'll find out from our ace NFL reporter, Nick, what's next with the Seahawks. What's going on in the NFL this week, and all brought to you by Salmon Service Centers.